Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going into the comment line comment, as I promised, because your calls, your questions, your comments, they're the priority. What we want to do is make sure that we cover those when we get into marketing. So what that means is we're covering some marketing today. And so we will just kind of dispense with the obligatories as fast as possible. The show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that provides the academic evidence of what the framers had provided us. We also provide the academic evidence-based solutions based on what we've been provided by the framers. They gave us everything. The problem was there was nobody back then that actually sat down and created a desktop procedures like they do in the military. You know, in case of emergency, break glass, follow these procedures, do this, do this, do this, do this. I think that they understood, and let me be clear. We're going to be getting into the next level of content. We'll be getting into Republic Review and what you do precisely, what we precisely have to do when the federal government is violating the Constitution, even if it's just a little infraction. But the problem is we have so many infractions that over 90%, somewhere probably about 95% of what they are doing and exerting political energy on is unconstitutional. We're not engaged in a war right now. So there shouldn't be that big of a war debt at all. I mean, we should have a defense debt because we do need to rebuild our defense. We have that constitutional responsibility. We also have a constitutional responsibility of protecting our borders. We're dealing with so many constitutional crises, such as this housing shortage. This housing shortage is directly related to this invasion. When you have 40 million illegals just pumping into America and the federal government is giving them housing and assistance, well, that displaces Americans from being able to go into available housing. And it drives the prices of housing up dramatically. Do not think that what we're seeing is just a standard market. You want to see the market actually stop, the bubble stop, and possibly deflate? Start dealing with the invasion. Stop it and get the invaders out. That would actually get us back to a normal housing market. Because we don't have that kind of growth in America that is creating the shortages and such a demand on material. Come on, why isn't anybody else putting this together? One thing I will say, and this is kind of impromptu, but I am going to be looking for contacting, I believe his last name, you know what? I'm really bad with names, but his name's Tucker, and you probably know him on Fox News. I listened to an interview he did on the radio, and what I want to do is actually reach out to him and Tucker Carlson. See, I'm so bad with names. I can't even think of even popular names. So forgive me. If I ever get your name wrong, it is nothing personal. It's just that that's just something I always been challenged in trying to process. Anywho, I'm going to try to talk to him because he's been talking about the debt. He's been talking about a lot of these things that he realizes is an absolute crisis. But he has no idea that these are all manufactured crises that are being done in defrauding the American people. And so what we need is we need your help. We need to, since it's marketing time, it's time to get out to you, the listener, and get you involved in growing the audience base for us. We beg and plead that the more people that get involved, that actually hear this message, the more opportunities we have in people serving. As I tried to emphasize yesterday, you know, I've had it up to here. And my hand is way over my head. I've had it up to here with everybody that says we've got to get back to, there's plenty of people praying. There's plenty of people that are, you know, desirous of this nation becoming a moral nation. The problem is we don't have enough people that are willing to do what the framers did and provide the necessary service getting involved in the solution. Until we actually have people, you know, getting into the solution, we're going to have these problems. And you have to get involved. They got involved. They actually directly combated Britain. They actually directly combated these problems when the Articles of Confederation were failing. They took action. And so don't think that being on your knees all day is all you have to do. Or trying to teach people in a proselyting, get on your knees, pray, and then fast, sanctify everything you're doing through service. Because that is sacrifice. The Lord recognizes sacrifice, and that's what we have to do. And I really, it doesn't annoy me, but I don't feel it's really my job to sit here and preach. I believe that everybody knows what the truth is, and there's no one that can tell me that I'm off the mark, because these are just basic, simple facts. And so anybody that does any kind of research will come to the conclusion that GR is spot on. The only reason that GR was able to get all of these rocks in a circle to create the fire pit out in the middle of the wilderness here is strictly due to the fact that I actually spent the time walking through the forest, looking at the trees and recognizing every portion and every nuance about the forest. Some of that had probably to do with my intelligence training, maybe my OCD, anal retention, or what have you. So anyway, let's just try to move on here. What we want to do is get through these obligatories, like I told you, because we do have a comment from a listener. And so we want to get into that. 425-270-5416 is the comment line. And you're more than welcome to dial in. I hope Harry's listening. We want to dive into some more marketing. So let's actually go to what the gentleman's name is Charles, and I've actually engaged with him via email. And so please, by all means, if you have a comment, don't hesitate. 425-270-5416, whenever you have the time, sit down, articulate your thoughts. If you really want to put down a long diatribe, you may have to call twice. But actually, if you call once, I will call you back like I did with Charles. And we're going to actually try to get Charles on later on. We're going to work that out and schedule with him so that we can have this discussion further in his questions and comments regarding student debt. But let's actually hear what he says right now.
Hello, this is Charles Caldwell. I'm calling your comment line. I have been a long time thought this law that prevents college students from filing bankruptcy is probably unconstitutional. I don't know if you'd be interested in talking about that on your show. I think it violates Article 1, Section 8, the Uniform Bankruptcy Clause, because it denies a class, it punishes one specific class of people more than another. It protects a class of creditors more than another, the school lenders. In bankruptcy court, it would automatically subordinate any other type of loan to the school lender's rights without due process. And I've studied this for a fair amount of time, and I've raised it with some people. I think conservatives made a tremendous mistake in supporting the idea that college students should not be able to file bankruptcy on their loans. And what happened, I think, is the financiers rushed in once they were prevented from filing bankruptcy and ballooned the market into something very gigantic. And the irony of it is it's allowed leftist-type students who don't have a good degree program to basically get funded, and they matriculated through college. And I don't think conservatives have woke up to the idea they shot themselves in the foot. Anyway, that's kind of the basic crux of my argument. There's probably some other nuances that I've put together that I could discuss as well. But anyway, my number is 3605.
And we're not going to give you the rest of that number. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Charles on, and we're going to talk about this. He's spot on. Folks, you're spot on if you think that the federal government is doing something unconstitutional. As a matter of fact, you could grab a bat, you could go into a dark room, and you could swing at the balls flying by, and you would hit a home run almost every time you swang in the dark at balls just flying by you, because there's that many unconstitutional powers, roles, and responsibilities that are being exercised by the federal government. You know, in other words, if we just put you in a sweet spot and a point in the dark room where if you stand there and you just hold the bat and don't matter which direction you turn, you'll be able to, you know, swing at a pitch, you're going to hit that thing out of the park every time. Because there's that many unconstitutional actions being done by the federal government. They're spending us into oblivion. These people, now we do have probably some really good, just a few really good legislators in D.C. Massey, whatever his name is. I think he's an Ohio representative. Paul, maybe Rand Paul. I don't know. Because when I look at these gentlemen, you know, they speak, they walk, they talk the talk, but I don't see them walking the walk. And that's probably because they don't know the message. They don't understand Republic Review. They don't understand the, you know, the truth, reality, and details. They only understand what they've been taught, and that they've been taught all of these lies. So their foundation is based on those lies. So anyway, we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about Charles's comments. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so first off, thank you, Charles, for the comment. I know that there's a lot of you that do have questions. You're more than welcome to call in. And I am not going to be backhanding you like some of these conservative entertainers. If you want to, you know, challenge things, I'm going to play it, and we will talk, and we will talk directly if it merits that. I mean, and it's not even if it merits that, if we have to go into those types of details. And this is one of those conversations that we can easily go into those types of details. Because, and Charles is spot on. I love this fact that here he's talking about the uniformity clause. Here's somebody that understands the Constitution enough to be able to say, because almost every time we look at a violation by the federal government, they're violating the uniformity clause because they are not following that the premise that everything they do must be equal. So if we actually gave them an amendment that allowed them to create this health and human services, education, or what have you, the budget that they would have to allocate would have to be uniform based on apportionment, period. The only mechanism that they have is apportionment for taxing, for debt, and those types of things. And so they couldn't give advantages like they have in bailing out, you know, the TARP loans and that TARP loan that they gave to New York and to the insurance companies. That was all unconstitutional because that all went into businesses in New York. First off, there's no power delegated to them to do that. They can't just give companies a bailout. Too big to fail concept? Tough. You know, there's a... I won't use the little kitty to, you know, or I should say the schoolyard, you know, chant on that, but tough. These companies must fail. GM should have failed. All of these companies that we've been bailed, the airline industry needs to fail, and it needs to fail miserably. Because we've been bailing out their inefficiencies. And I understand it's a difficult market, but they have been mollycoddled for years. And I am telling you, it is time to end that because there's no reason why we don't have a true free market because the government is way too involved. There's no power delegated to the government to regulate airline, air travel, or anything like that. Where is that in the Constitution? Okay, we've advanced as a society, but if we want to delegate that power, we must amend the Constitution. Here's the problem, folks. The design of this Constitution was to be outward-facing in dealing with external entities. In other words, with foreign affairs, fighting wars, you know, providing security from external threats like our southern border. So there was no intent in trying to provide any domestic protection. So when we start looking at what the federal government should be doing, we should never, never put on the table anything that regards domestic issues, education, energy, housing, all of these labor, all of these things should be wiped off because, one, they're unconstitutional and never considered to be put on that federal table. We need to start working together as states, and we need to start actually coalescing as states and creating strategies for us, the states, because I'm telling you, the federal government does not care about what is best for us. They're moving to a globalist agenda, which is why they've been selling us downstream on energy, Trump at least tried to, you know, go back to the old paradigm of autonomy, but the better paradigm is that the federal government has no power over this. Unleash the markets. Go after these oligarchies like OPEC. Anyway, let's get back to what Charles was saying, though. Because the very first part of Article 1, Section 8, these are the delegated powers. This is where they list the powers delegated to the federal government. And there are a few other powers that have been also delegated or amplified in some of the other sections. But Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. So they have this is not a general power. This is strictly a preamble. What they're doing is they're basically saying, we're enumerating these powers below to take care of this general concept that we've created a responsibility for the federal government. And the second part of this preamble, because there's two parts, which is actually the uniform clause. And it goes like this, and it says, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. So in other words, they can't actually give advantages. They can't actually, you know, pick favorites. They can't actually go after other states or punish other states directly with tariffs and or tax strategies to basically disadvantage them. And so when they were doing that with the abominable tariffs against the South, they were actually violating the uniformity clause. Anyway, the second part of this is to borrow money on the credit of the United States. But how can they borrow money? In accordance with these enumerated powers. Borrowing money is a contract. They enter into a contract with an institution, a country, or what have you, that is going to lend the United States money. And the only way they can actually go into a legitimate constitutional contract is to borrow money for the constitutional responsibilities that they have. So in other words, if they're going out to spend money on health and human services, on vaccinating the world, that is not an enumerated power, and the money that they spend on that is defrauding the American people. It is unconstitutional, and the debt that we incur for that is unconstitutional. You know, I'm going to keep on saying this for years and years, and I'm going to continue doing this until this actually gets to a point where people are actually having these conversations out in the open like Tucker Carlson. And I think this really needs to slap him in the face, because once he starts understanding the Constitution, here's the question. And this is the question I pose to anybody that starts getting onto this battlefield. I was going to call it a stage, but this is really the battlefield, folks. Are you ready to retire? Is Tucker Carlson ready to retire? Because bottom line, when he starts exposing, if he goes down this path, just like I had this conversation with Trevor Lawton. My hat's off to him. I love this man like a brother. He gets it. He lives and breathes the responsibility. And so Trevor Lawton, when I met with him in 2016 in Montana, when we had breakfast, I just basically went over there and spent the day with him. And I was really thankful that he did that. He took out one day of his time and traveling around to just sit down so that we could talk about Republic Review. And so when I sat down with him, the first question I asked him is, are you ready to retire? And that always throws people off. Well, why are you asking me this question? Because I have the solution. This is the Madisonian solution that will actually work. And if you're in this for the money, that means that you aren't ready to retire. If you're in this to end this so that you can do something else like I want to do, then as far as I am concerned, then, you know, you are in this for the righteous reason. So is Tucker Carlson just a conservative entertainer getting rich off of, you know, this grievance industry of all of these bad things occurring? And, you know, or is he willing to kill the goose that lays the golden egg? Going back into the Constitution now, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with Indian tribes. And that's where they basically are to regulate commerce as far as how it flows in and out of the United States. So if you look at the several states, to make sure that the several states can't pitch, you know, roadblocks or toll fees to use their highways or what have you, but they don't have the ability to regulate what you do as, you know, producing a toilet and how much water you have to flush. They do not have that power. They're just talking about the flow of commerce, just the flow going outward and coming back in and going across the states to service going outward and coming back in as well. And when they talked about Indian tribes, they looked at that at that point in time as going outward. Anyway, this is the part that Charles is bringing up, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. We have these things called bankruptcies. And so what we're going to do is, I don't want to talk too much detail on this, but bottom line, because I want to have this conversation with Charles, and I want you to realize that you're more than welcome to participate in this process and participating in this Reclaiming the Republic and the show. I want you to realize what he basically said is really driven by protecting the government. Because here's the government that came along and said, we believe that, you know, you have a right to higher education, and we're going to make it possible to make it easy for you to get loans. Oh, but these loans you can never shake. This is the, you know, it's like a deal with the devil, if you understand what I mean. Because they're putting this into a state, or they're putting this into a position financially that you can never shake this. Like he says, it becomes the priority loan. You'll lose your house, but you'll never lose that debt that you owe for your education. And that is unconstitutional. It violates that uniformity clause, that rule of uniform bankruptcies. If you can claim bankruptcy over a loan, if you can claim bankruptcy in America, and by the way, it's way too easy to do this. We need to bring back debtor prison. But what we're going to do is we'll invite Charles back on, hopefully in the next week or two, and we will actually go into the details of this, because this is a good conversation and just one myopic issue of how they violated the Constitution. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we will have Charles scheduled, and we'll let you know when we're going to have that conversation, because, you know, I want to help you understand, because if you listen to all of the different talk shows, there are lots of talk shows like this one, that we have a good audience. I get feedback, but nobody ever calls. And that's just due to the fact that I think that either people are way too busy, there's that. And I also think that some people are just afraid because they just don't want to sound stupid. I constantly meet people like that. They go, well, I'm still kind of learning before I get ready to engage. I got to understand all of this. And I actually, I had a conversation with a leader in Idaho. We're working together in getting things moving in Idaho now. So we've now got Wyoming, the two Dakotas, Montana, and Idaho moving forward. So one of the things, and I actually had a conversation with Douglas V. Gibbs, was it yesterday? No, it was Sunday. And really quick, we're going to be having this conversation because he's the president of the Constitution Association, and he's the founder. He is in Southern California. We've worked together before. He's actually got the guy that got me started with the radio side of all of this. When I wrote my two first books, my first book, I had no intent in becoming a radio show host. All I wanted to do was just point people to the solution and go get it, guys, go get it. And if you read my first book, I come right out with, I was so naive to think that the conservatives would just jump on this, that they would all bond together, that they would abandon, you know, the status quo. They would abandon the convention of states, you know, that the John Birch Society and all of these people would just come on board. And so that didn't happen. But anyway, what we're doing in my conversation with Doug, and I'm just going to touch on this really quick. We're moving forward in trying to create the energy and demand that we canonize the Constitution. That bottom line, it is not the Supreme Court's responsibility to canonize this. It is really the state's responsibility. This is why we're pointing to the Constitution Party, that they be the organization, the institution, the apparatus that pulls everybody together to say, you're welcome to sit at this table to go through how this Constitution was defined. In so doing, my friends, we create the irrefutable argument that as the states were debating the ratification, as the framers, the Federalists, were defining this line, this line, and this line, that everything that they stated in defining the Constitution is legally binding. This ties the court's hands from ever being able to interpret. The only time that the states, or I should say the court, will be able to open this door or this little window of interpretation is when it's not truly defined. And it won't happen because one of the things that was truly defined was jurisdiction. The federal court has no jurisdiction over anything that is not enumerated, period. And so, in canonizing this, this actually shrinks the ability or the doors and portals that the federal government has in putting hooks and aggrandizing themselves, and it spotlights all of the aggrandizement that they have done. I'm sure everybody's starting to realize this value. This is why this is one of the things that we need to get people engaged in. This is why we need to get the National Liberty Alliance, the John Birch Society. We want all of these people at the table. But I'm going to tell you, those people who refuse to come and participate, we need to excoriate them, and we need to basically point to them. Either you unify and you join this effort in reclaiming this constitutional Republic, or go away, because there's no room for divisiveness anymore. As a matter of fact, as I was talking to this grassroots leader in Idaho, I basically stated that any organization that says, we're the ones that are going to tell you how to think, we're the ones that are going to basically tell you what all this stuff means, and that you need to join us, and we're not working with anybody. That is a divisive organization. And when we really look at division and divisiveness, we know that that is a tool of evil, because that is what actually creates the schisms. That's what creates the inability to unite. Let's call things for what they are. One of the things I actually pointed out, and come to find out, I think there is a portion of my listening audience that are John Birchers, and probably the majority of them are somehow in leadership, because it seems like every time I poke them in the eye, there's this little fallout or some little pushback here, pushback there. We got to shut this guy up. He's making us look bad. Well, you know what? You're making yourself look bad. You're the ones that want to be divisive. You're the ones. And anybody that has listened over the past month and a half, since I've been back from Red Pill Expo, I put it on the table that as we move forward, as the states start going to, you know, the ratification base, going to this concept of a canonized constitution, I'm okay with the John Birchers, being that vestige of, you know, that information and assisting and being those people at the state level that call in and become a part of that office of resource and research of the ratification debates. Because every time the states look at a law, every time the states review things, because we have to go through and clean everything up. But we have to get the federal government into compliance first, because if it falls, all of us will go with it. It will drag us to the bottom of the ocean with it. So we got to keep this baby afloat. We've got to get it turned around, and we got to get it back into the direction, course, and size that it has to be based on the Constitution. That's what compliance and republic review will do. But here we go with these needs at the state level and at the county level, and I'm okay. I think the John Birch Society could find its niche in providing people to be that resource, to be, whether that's a volunteer force or whether that's a paid, you know, resource or what have you. What we don't want is, we do not want state legislators to hire lawyers to go in there, because they will start turning things upside down. And that's because their paradigm is based on and aimed towards these titles of nobility. As many people understand titles of nobility if they are deeply immersed in the Constitution and they understand the original 13th Amendment. A lot of people, even my listening audience, there, I'm sure there's some of you, because we have not gotten into the original 13th Amendment. Why? Because right now, it's really not, it's not a part of the collection for right, wrong, or indifferent. But Republic Review, as we go through the different states in Republic Review and auditing, we will ferret out whether that was truly amended. And if it was truly amended by the states, then we will have a 13th Amendment, and every other amendment will shift, or we'll have 13th Amendment A and 13th Amendment B. Something like that. That's what we're going to have to do, because if it was truly ratified, then it needs to be a part of the Constitution per the process. And so if you don't know about the original 13th Amendment, just use DuckDuckGo and do the research on this. So let's get into some marketing. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, Mark Milley, in the past, just recently, so we're talking about this, and what I want to really talk about is critical race theory. And here's this general that has come right out and basically delivered this defense of the military's right to study critical race theory. Well, hold on here. He's getting into politics. He's getting into internal political movements and internal political affairs. Posse Comitatus comes to mind. The fact is, the military, the federal military, cannot get involved in doing anything with the populace. They can't spy on us. They can't fight us. The only thing, the only time the federal military, if it is the militia that has been federalized, it can enforce the Constitution and laws in pursuant to the Constitution. Critical race theory is not in pursuant to the Constitution. It shouldn't be on the table. So why is it that these generals, and this goes back to what I've been telling you, most every officer in the military system, they're all political hacks. They're all fighting for that opportunity to suck up and to become a political leader. And I am telling you, these guys aren't worth their salt. We need to completely revamp the United States military and get rid of the two separate enlisted ranks and the officer ranks. We've got to get rid of those two separate avenues of career. Why? Because the corporate world doesn't recognize those. The corporate world doesn't have officers and enlisted. They do have different specialties. They have different, you know, career paths and so forth. There's executive levels, and I get that. And I'm okay with that. But having two, literally believing that one class in the military is better than another class, because in today's age of technology, if you didn't know this, it takes an enlisted man to make that hunk of metal fly. It takes an enlisted man to make that rust bucket float and go and do all of the things it does, because that's where we are with technology and education. Enlisted men are the ones that are actually doing the heavy lifting, and they understand, you know, the deeper things of making these things work. Avionics, that's all done by enlisted. So my point is that why is it that we have these supposedly poorly educated people in the enlisted ranks that can do all of the difficult technical stuff? And the people that go and crash those aircrafts, the people like John McCain, when he, you know, on the Forrestal, you know, crashed his aircraft and killed a bunch of enlisted people on that ship. I'm asking you, why is it that we have this separation? It doesn't make sense, but I got to get back to this critical race theory, because this is being ratcheted up by the unions and so forth, and we need to address this at the state level. This coming legislative session, we'll be right back after these two promos, because this is all about marketing and this is all about getting you fired up. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thanks so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so I think I've actually talked a little bit about this general, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Miley. Anyway, he is overstepping his bounds. As a matter of fact, technically he's committed treason because he takes an oath to support the Constitution, not a political agenda. Everybody in the military takes that oath that they must support the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. And now that he's supporting a political agenda of wiping out and not supporting the Constitution that is unconstitutionally targeting, you know, basically, this critical race theory is almost the same thing as creating a bill of attainder, because it's identifying a class of people, white males, as bad people that we need to suppress them. This whole social justice. I mean, this is unconscionable that this is even happening here in America. But the fact of the matter is that he's committing treason, and he must be tried for treason and punished for treason. And every political officer in the military ranks and every political hack in office needs to be tried for treason over this. So, okay, we've classified that we actually have enemies that are supporting outright insurgency against the Constitution, direct rebellion against the Constitution and the citizens of the United States, where we are protected from this, directly protected in Article 1, Section 9 and 10. They can't pass bills of attainder. They can't pass ex post facto laws. And in addition, we actually have rights in our Bill of Rights, that we have the right of expression. We have the right of being who we are. We have the right of conscience. We have the right of commerce. So these folks are actually committing an insurrection and rebellion and treason against the Constitution. Now, even worse, our education system has taken this on, and I understand lots of people have been talking about this, and this is what you hear the conservative entertainers talk about. And some of these idiots are telling, oh, we got to go back to homeschooling. You know, not that that's not a good idea, but that does not address the constitutionality and putting it in its proper perspective so that we do away with even the threat of this kind of crap happening. And so, first off, you have to understand that the schools are trying to educate, and they have been using your kids in protest. Since we haven't really had a big school shooting, and we expect to see some under the Biden administration, because what? It happened under the Obama administration, and it's just they're increasing because of the social engineering that the federal government has been doing and the communist movement in America. They're teaching your kids, and they're actually giving your kids instruction in how to participate in the Bolshevik Revolution. You have to understand that protesting in America is treasonous. You do not have a right to go out into the streets and to cause harm, to stop commerce, or to impede traffic. Every city, every state has laws that protect the flow of commerce and protect your rights. Your rights in your person, your rights in your property, your rights in your commerce and conscience and so forth. So when we see these protests, they are treasonous, and we have the empirical data to prove this. This is why we went through the Whiskey Rebellion. This is why it's important that you understand that these teachers are teaching these kids to become treasonous in rejecting the one thing that actually protects their rights of conscious life and property. This is so unconscionable. So what do? We have to get the states to step up and stop this. As a matter of fact, every state needs to evaluate the books, and every state legislative body in this upcoming session, now we have another bill that they need to really consider in removing the rights of protest. If somebody wants to have a parade, if somebody wants to have a public rally, then they have to follow the legal process that anybody that gets out to take away the rights of any U.S. citizen of commerce, they get out into the streets and protesting, they must be arrested and they must be punished based on treason. Now, if it's not necessarily full-out rebellion, then what they should do is they should at least take away the rights of these people from voting. Oh, wow. You want to go down the path of committing a Bolshevik revolution, you need to be considered a threat because you're not following the constitutional and the political process, which is actually an amendment, you know, process. You go to Article 5 and say, we want to be able to do this. We want to give the federal government the ability to teach. We want to give the federal government the ability to do, you know, the curriculum management, because those powers aren't there. So you have to amend the Constitution. You don't go out and protest and demand that you can do what you want to do like a little infantile, spoiled brat. So what we have to do is we have to get the state legislators to clearly understand and articulate that these things will no longer be tolerated. That if you commit this crime, you will be removed from your ability to vote for at least so many years, and until you've proven that you can be a civil contributor to society. I'm going to tell you, because who's going to be out there protesting? It will be the leftists, and they will realize that, oh man, you know, this is kind of a smart bite. This actually hurts us because now we can't vote for our communists. And as a matter of fact, we need to start targeting any political organization that is directly trying to undermine. As a matter of fact, the Democratic Party is directly trying to undermine the constitutional process in supporting ideas and supporting premises and government that is unconstitutional. And so I think that this has to be on the plate of the state legislatures to recognize that there are political parties that are designed to subvert and actually pervert our government. They've been working for years and getting away with it. we need our state legislators to start protecting this. And as we start moving forward in these red states, this is going to be the narrative between now and the next election year. If people are recognizing where we are, and people are recognizing and where we are going with this Bolshevik revolution, we have all the authority and power in the Constitution to shut this down. Just like that. The problem is people are so illiterate regarding the Constitution that they don't even know all of these things are violating the Constitution. They think that we've been told and believe in the indoctrination that we have constitutional rights to protest. Your constitutional right is to petition government for the redress of grievances, period. You're not happy with what government is doing? Go down and petition them. And the problem is that those people that are petitioning government to, you know, and saying, you know, you should be doing this, which is a violation of the Constitution, you get blown out of the water. So why is it that they protest? Because they know they don't have a legitimate argument. They're trying to change the hearts and minds and the sentiments of the people in trying to move us using democracy instead of the rule of law. These are very salient points. We're hitting them out of the park. And this is how we put this into context. We need state legislatures to start enforcing and actually using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment in removing anybody. Because if you're on a school board and you're voted in and you're supporting this, boom, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, you're committing open rebellion against the Constitution. You're supporting an idea that is a bill of attainder. So, my friends, don't tell me that understanding the Constitution is geeky. Don't tell me that, because I'm telling you right now, it is the coolest thing to be, to become a constitutional literate person. You don't have to become a constitutional scholar. You don't have to be the most articulate person regarding the Constitution. All you have to do is know that these things are violations of the Constitution and be able to, you know, right down to the nail, hit the nail on the top of the head and basically say, this is unconstitutional because blah. And that's it. And in so doing, we shut them down. They will run from the truth. They will go hide in the dark and they'll try to figure out another way to foil our efforts. The good Lord knew everything that we needed. The good Lord knew what he gave us, and he gave us everything in this Constitution. And the 14th Amendment was the necessary nail or the necessary tool added that we needed in these days to stop this despotic. The best way I can say this, my friends, is if you look at biblical verse, if you start looking and considering the dreadful day of the Lord, the good Lord gave us everything we could to avoid us having to suffer at such a mighty plague and at such a cost to our liberty and so forth. There's no way that he didn't love us. There's no way that you could tell me that he didn't consider giving us everything we needed. And he's not going to stand here and tell us that we have to do these things. It is left up to us. He didn't stand up and support just the Puritans. He supported all who united. And this is why we're making big emphasis on the unity and organizations that are going to unify. It's time we start naming. I've already named the John Birch Society as a divisive organization. Prove me wrong. Get them to become a participant in bringing people together and going outside of their comfort zone and saying, well, okay, so we're kind of wrong on this. We were really wrong on Republic Review. Sorry. But, you know, we're all going to be supporting the reclaiming of the Republic and become a part of the Reclaiming of the Republic Network. And so we're going to be talking more about the Reclaiming the Republic Network as we get through some of this marketing, but we've got more marketing to go through. So we'll be back tomorrow with more marketing. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.